Welcome to Mosaic Wealth Partners in 8 Minutes or Less. I'm Eric Jaffe and I'm here with Chris Williams. In today's episode, we'll continue our discussion of the energy sector, but today we'll focus on clean energy. Chris, we've spent a couple of episodes discussing energy, and we've concentrated on traditional oil and gas investments. Clean energy, however, is really a different beast. Today, I'd like to zero in on this somewhat different subsector. Let's put aside any discussion of environmental or social issues, and let's just focus on clean energy from an investment perspective. Clean energy itself includes many different types of fuels, vehicles, etc. Why don't we start with ways to break down this subsector further?
Well, it certainly can be a bit of a challenge to break down the types. A simple Google search will have, you know, what are the 12 types? What are the 8, 9 types? What are the 6 types? What are the 3 types? If we want to keep it to the major areas and those that we can invest in, you probably have about 5. Wind would be 1. Solar, definitely. Hydroelectric or water. Biomass, any kind of ethanol, biodiesel. And the 5th, while technically not a category, would really be the electric battery. Anything that's powering machines, you know, that's not fossil fuel based. So those 5 categories would be where we'd want to focus, especially from an investment standpoint.
I think that's a pretty good breakdown. Honestly, we could get even more granular if we wanted to. We could discuss the natural resources that are used in making batteries or other technologies. We could talk about battery research and development because they're always trying to find ways to improve these fuel sources, et cetera, et cetera. But this does show how broad this subsector can be. So turning back to the investment perspective of clean energy, if we look back to 2019 and much of 2020, a lot of what people labeled clean energy stocks were doing very well from a performance standpoint. Many, if not most of those, however, have really stumbled since then. Why do you think that is?
Well, certainly as you reference, you know, 2019, 2020, this is where the money was flowing. Investment companies were buying into clean energy companies. So investment companies being private venture, hedge funds, mutual funds, all these investment companies were putting their dollars into a lot of the clean energy stocks. One of the reasons was they had their ear to the ground and they knew that at both the state and federal level, there was large support for infrastructure, for clean energy infrastructure, for dollars to go into the sector. So therefore, they're buying ahead of, you know, the announcement that, hey, X government dollars are going to go into these areas. So once they start buying and sending the stocks sort of to the moon, I mean, I'm just looking at one major clean energy ETF, it was up over 400%, you know, in that 2019 through 2020 timeframe. But this was a classic case of buy the rumor, sell the news. We haven't gotten these bills passed. The money has not come to fruition the way that we thought it would. And again, just looking at the same ETF, you're talking about, you know, in February 21 through October, it just went sideways. It didn't really go down, but it didn't go up. And then since October of last year, it has gone down because there's been no follow through. And of course, the market itself has not done well. So it's been a couple of events that have led to poor performance in the clean energy sector.
That makes me think of analogies to other sorts of growth stocks where we see this boom or bust pattern. We've seen this with Netflix and a lot of the big tech companies that have boomed a lot lately leading up to the recent significant pullback this year. But those companies had a real roller coaster ride getting to their high points even. Do you think this is something we'll see replicated with the clean energy companies?
Yes, it's interesting you mentioned Netflix because that even in my remembrance, when I go back and look at the chart, you know, Netflix was around since 2002. And I tend to think of it as a 2007, 8, and then 11 and 12 stock. And what I'm saying is, you know, it wasn't really trading anything. It was trading $5 for a while in, you know, 08, 09, 10. And then it rallied, you know, into about 40. And then it sort of crashed back down in 2011. And it looked like the story was over. Because at that time, we were getting the DVDs in the mail, you know, and that was clunky. And it nobody knew where it was going. It wasn't this content machine that we've had today. But then, just real quickly, it's back down to $7 in 2013. October of 21, it hit $700. So it became that growth story. You know, and that growth story is what everybody's looking for. So whether it's tech or biotechnology or whatever the next thing is, investors want to jump in. And that's, you know, what we saw in 2019 and 20 in the clean energy space. Absolutely.
It also makes me think when we review what happened with Netflix, that there really is a potential to be too early to the game here. We mentioned how many types of clean energy there are. It almost seems like a new version of the VHS versus Betamax situation, but multiplied by a whole bunch of different types of energy, a whole bunch of different types of batteries, a whole bunch of different types of battery producers. And it seems to me there's a real risk of picking the wrong horse when you're picking so early in the process.
Yeah, you have risks here on multiple levels. You know, on one hand, which clean energy type is going to be most dominant? When I look at the government sites breakdown, right now 39%, the largest, is in biomass. 26% wind, 22% hydroelectric. 11% is in solar, which is talked about, or at least some of the solar stocks are talked about more than the others. So is solar going to be a larger percentage in 10 years? These numbers could change drastically. You and I have talked about both our houses aren't eligible for solar. So it's not necessarily something that everyone can have. You know, everyone could get a VCR, but not everyone has access to solar energy. So that's a risk. And then there's intra-sector risk. I've looked at two solar companies. Both were doing very well. I was trying to figure out, okay, which one is the better investment? And they have competing technologies. So just like VHS Betamax, I don't know which one's going to win. The better technology may not win. So sometimes it makes sense to wait, at least get a clearer picture of where things are going before we get in and before we invest in these companies.
Great point. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Please join us on our next edition of In 8 Minutes or Less when we revisit and continue our discussion of interest rates. We look forward to having you join us then.